The NFL draft is coming up, and for quite some time now, we've been trying to get you as many draft prospects as we possibly can before the draft itself, because there are so many guys with so many great stories that you may or may not know about, so we're continuing to do that. And I found another one for you. He's a former tight end with Vanderbilt, a Mackey Award and Biletnikoff Award watch list, all SEC player. He set the Vanderbilt school record for most receptions in a season with 50. And again, the NFL draft gets underway on Thursday night. We are joined by Jared Pinkney. Jared, I do want to talk about the draft, and I want to talk about your time at Vandy. But before we do that, how are you and your family doing in the middle of the coronavirus?
Hey, thanks for having me. But yeah, we're doing all right. I just came back about 2 days ago, got to spend some time with everybody. So everybody's healthy and we're good.
Good, good. Good to hear it, and it's good to have you on. So I've talked to a number of draft prospects and current pros in the last few weeks. We've talked about how challenging it is to get your work in, to do your workouts, to stay in shape with gyms and other facilities closed. How are you staying in shape these days?
Well, that's actually a pretty funny story, because I went out running about an hour and a half ago, and what I'll do is I'll put my headphones on and play music and run to a song. And I'll run at a moderate pace for as long as the song goes, and then I'll get about a 10 to 15-second rest afterwards in between the next song starting. But I might have to rethink that, because the song called Welcome to Houston came on, and if anybody knows anything about that song, it's ridiculously long. So I really got in trouble with that.
So you got some good work in, though, man.
Yeah.
Now, you be careful what you put in your phone. Now, you had a huge junior season. You could have entered the draft last year. I think a number of people who were in your shoes, or if they were in your shoes, would have done just that. What was your decision-making process like, and ultimately what brought you back to Vanderbilt?
Well, the thing about it was I felt like there were things that I hadn't accomplished yet, individually and just as a team. And one of those things, obviously, was to graduate, and I was able to do that in December. And then another was, you know, go to a bigger and better bowl game and just do things that Vanderbilt players and teams haven't done in the past.
Jared Pinkney's my guest. Now, the thing about the degree, which is really interesting to me, you said this: when I see the degree and I see the opportunities I'm going to have in football, for me to have done that at the same time, I feel like that's a huge accomplishment, end quote. Now, you could have left, you could have come back later when your football career was over and finish up the degree. So why was it important to finish both at the same time?
I think it presents a unique advantage and opportunity for guys like us, because at Vanderbilt, and you kind of see it in NFL, the guys that go, they're kind of undervalued and they end up sticking on and staying on rosters. And we had guys on both Super Bowl rosters, and we've had guys that are starting in the NFL, and it speaks to our versatility and our ability to adapt under adverse situations and things like that, because we're competing against the best athletes on Saturday and then also the best students in the classroom in the country on every other day.
I happen to agree with you, especially at that school. That's an excellent, excellent school. So when you go back to when you were being recruited, what was it about Vanderbilt that appealed to you the most? Why was that the best fit?
Coach Mason was probably number one on the list, because the thing that I always tell people when they ask me about him is, while he obviously cares about as good as making you as good as a football player as you can be, his main concern is sending you back a better man than your parents dropped you off. And I absolutely believe that he did that with me, and my mom can speak to that. And, you know, it's just, he's an amazing guy, and I owe probably 90% of my success to him.
We're talking about Derek Mason. He also said of you, quote, "He's an old soul in a young man's body. He is one of the hardest workers you'll find on and off the field." What about that old soul thing? Like, where does the approach come from? Did you just kind of, were you wired for that? Was that the way you always were, or is that an approach that you developed?
No, it's the way I always was, but I got a little bit of better direction once I got older, because I was able to see, you know, former players, coaches, you know, even teammates, how they would go about their work. And, you know, even Mason, to a certain degree, he kind of teach me, you know, certain ways that I could be more productive in approaching my work. And, I mean, I guess the main guy is Jerry Rice, because when you talk about Jerry Rice, the first thing you think of is hard work. And he kind of gave you a cheat sheet for him being arguably the greatest football player of all time. He accomplished that through hard work.
So, Jared, what about that cheat sheet? I mean, were there specific things on that cheat sheet other than him running that hill? What did you get from him? What did you pick up from Jerry Rice and watching his approach?
The route running, like the attention to detail that he has in the route running, is something I really, really want to hone in on once I get to the NFL. And even now, because, you know, during this time, there are things that you can do instead of just, you know, running and running and running. You can get the mental aspect too, but his attention to detail with the routes and his intelligence in terms of identifying coverages and things like that.
Jared Pinkney is joining us. We're getting ready for the draft. It's coming up on Thursday. Now, you had that huge junior season, and then your senior year didn't go quite the way you or anybody else would have liked on offense, as things never really clicked. But as you look back on last season, what kind of thoughts do you have?
It's unfortunate that it wasn't able to click, you know, because with us the years before and mainly the year, my junior year, they were guys that I'd grown up with for 4 years. It was my entire class. And mainly, I think it was only two or three of us that actually redshirted. So everybody was in there last year no matter what. And we were able to build off of the chemistry that we've been building for 4 years, you know, on and off the field, in each other's dorm rooms, playing video games and going out on the town on the weekends and stuff like that. And it manifested into wins and production on the fields on Saturday.
Now, it seems to me it would be really easy to get angry or be frustrated about that. But at the Combine, you said, quote, "I think it was an important lesson in not only my football development, but life," end quote. So how were you able to go about approaching it as a learning opportunity? And then what did you learn from that situation?
Yeah, definitely, because in life, everything's not going to go exactly the way you want it. You're going to find adversity at some point, and you got to be able to respond to that, you know. Because I took it as, all right, when I'm 35, 40 years old and something happens with my kids, you know, I can't just shut down and be like, oh, my God, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. What am I going to do? I got to be able to respond and take care of them to the best of my ability, you know, in my marriage or, you know, just friends and little things like that. But even the big things, like I said, with marriage and children, you can take lessons from football and especially this year that I just had and apply it to that and end up being a better man.
Like I said, man, old soul. Jared Pinkney joining us. That's a great take. Now, when you were at the Senior Bowl in January, you made the point that, quote, "tight end is the most undervalued position in sports," end quote. When you look at the fact that some of the biggest weapons in the game play at that position, it does make sense. But lay it out for me. What do you mean by that? Why is that the most undervalued position in all of sports?
Well, if you think about it, it's very, very, very similar to linebacker. When you think of all the things that you want from a good tight end and all the things that you'd require. If you're building one in a lab, you want it to be fast, you want it to be big, you want it to be quick and agile, but you also want it to be highly intelligent, be able to recognize coverages while also retain information in the pass and run game in terms of fronts and stunts and things like that. He's got to be able to block, strong enough to block, good enough footwork to block, run game and pass pro. He's patient, and then his footwork in the pass pro, in his sets and things like that. And then his routes, he's got to be able to catch. He's got to be able to sit his hips down and come in and out of breaks. And then he's got to be able to elevate over a guy or run through a guy after the catch. There's so many things.
Jared Pinkney joining us. There are so many things. And so many guys playing the game at a high level right now, playing that position at a high level. Who are some of the tight ends that you like to study and learn from?
I actually like to watch them all. And that's kind of a weird answer, I know. But I watch the Kittles and Kelsey's, you know, at the top. All the way down to, like, I mean, not down because they're not bad players, but the guys who don't get as much recognition as, like, a Foster Moreau who came out last year or 2 years ago. No, it was last year. And then, like, a Lee Smith. And I know our games are totally different, but, you know, it's good to watch guys that are able to have success in different ways. And I hit watching George Kittle because he's just a freaky athlete. He explodes through and runs past everybody. It's hard to watch him because I can't translate that to my game.
All right. In terms of translation and adjustments, you had a great line about when you get into the NFL. You said, quote, "you have to physically adjust to hitting grown men, 30-year-olds with mortgages as opposed to the 19-year-old who was just late to study hall." Like, how do you go about making or preparing to make that adjustment?
I think you got to put it into perspective of, eventually, you're going to be that 30-year-old man that's got a mortgage. And, you know, if they can do it, then there's no reason that you can't do it. And, you know, it's really a mindset, a dominant mindset of being at the will to win and being able to take yourself there mentally, physically, and relying and trusting on your training and preparation.
So, Jared, it seems to me you and I have talked now for about 10 minutes. You've got all the right answers. And I bring this up because you tell a great story from your time at the Combine when you were talking to the Patriots. And you said it's interesting because with a team that's been winning for as long as they have, you expect them to come in with a certain mentality and to share that mentality and to spread it and impart it on you. And that's exactly what happened. I gave kind of a wonky answer and it was like, no, that's a loser's mentality. Quote, end of quote. What do you remember about that conversation, and what was it you said that inspired them to say to you, that's a loser's mentality?
Yeah, the crazy thing about it was, like, we had a great conversation the entire time. It was just the one answer that I gave to that one question, and it was about it was about pass protection. Because, I mean, I'm obviously not a tackle, so I know I have room to improve in that area. But I think it was somewhere along the lines of, I'm not going to throw any names out there, but they named a highly productive guy. It was like, okay, what if your task was blocking him? What are you going to do? And I basically said, well, I got to eat my Wheaties because, you know, he's a tough guy. I'm going to have to get in the weight room and blah, blah, blah. Basically avoiding actually answering the question of how you're going to beat this guy that's all pro. And they're like, no. That's a loser's mentality. And then they helped me correct it, and I just absorbed the knowledge.
Yeah, I wonder, though, like, I'm looking at it. I mean, maybe, I guess. I'm looking at it from a different point of view. You go to Vanderbilt. You're playing SEC football at an elite level. So, to me, you're about as far from a loser as you can get. So, what was your reaction when they said that to you?
I didn't take it personally because, again, they weren't calling me a loser or saying I had a loser mentality. They were just saying my answer was that of a loser's mentality.
All right, then. So we're going to find out come Thursday night when the NFL draft begins where you might end up. He's a former Vanderbilt tight end, a Mackey Award and Biletnikoff Award watch list, all SEC. Jared, I'm going to weigh in with, not only are you not a loser, I don't think that's a loser mentality either, not with that kind of track record and not with that kind of resume. Listen, great to have you on the show. Appreciate the time. Good luck with that. And I'll look forward to seeing where you end up.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, Jared. Be good. Yeah, I don't know. That's a loser mentality. He was just acknowledging that the other guy was a great, great player, and he's got some work to do to catch up to that.